Bryce Young goes 35 of 57, 369, a touchdown, two picks last night. Stetson
Bennett. Got to replace him. Got to replace him. Can't play. Can't win with that.
Yeah, can't win
with that guy.
And he won the Heisman, and that guy won the Heisman?
That guy? Are you kidding? Can't have it. Got to go. Should've. Him, Golding, Saban.
Bill O'Brien.
Billy O.
Oh, yeah.
Doug Marrone. Stuart Bell, Greg Byrne.
Get him out of there.
You know what? Just the whole university. Let's just shut it down. You know, after last night. Cannot proceed under these circumstances. You're only as good as your last game. Ain't nothing but a bunch of losers down there.
Well,
freaking give me a break. So mad at that last call.
I see.
As you should be. Jordan Rodgers is going to be a little bit confused as he hops in on the Bud Light hotline now of ESPN, the SEC Network. We had a caller, Jordan, saying that he was excited about Ty Simpson, who I had to Google, is an incoming freshman at Alabama quarterback, and that you're only as good as your last game. So he was excited to see what Ty Simpson was going to bring to the quarterback position at Alabama next year.
Wow. So that's where they're at, huh?
Dark place, man.
Dark place for Alabama fans.
That's where that guy's at.
One has any idea who he is. Okay, that's how you turn the page. Hey, more power to you.
I think Shula's got to come back. He's the only one to resurrect the program after last night's beatdown. That's just, you know, we got to bring Shula back, or Francione, or Mike Price, or something like that. It's like, goodness gracious.
You know what? Now that Kirby's won a national championship as a head coach, you know, I think they really need to bring him back as defensive coordinator.
We'll just go get him. Yeah, there you go. We'll go get him. He knows
good. As much as Saban, he'll love to come back, and that's what they need.
There you go. Yeah. Jordan, what did you – obviously Stetson Bennett wins a national championship. I said my biggest takeaway of everything last night was just that camera footage of him late when they knew the game was sealed, seeing him emotionally – And just like, to me, that's college football. You have an appreciation for that just based on the way that you came up and became a starter in the Southeastern Conference. But what did you make of his performance? And then just all of it, all encompassing the fact that that young man was able to quarterback his team to a national title.
Yeah, the journey is special. And he said something last night in an interview, and I'm not going to repeat it exactly, but the essence was, he never really let himself believe. And I truly believe that emotion that we saw on the sideline was him finally letting himself believe that he was good enough, or say that he was good enough. He always had confidence that he was the best player and confidence that he could make every throw. But having been someone who didn't get any offers out of high school, went to a junior college, like, I had to always keep that motivation. I had to always believe that I wasn't good enough. Now, I never had the success that Stetson did, but I got to believe that in order to succeed, when everybody around you saying you can't, when you're overlooked, even by in quarterback competition in fall camps by your head coach, you know what I mean? Like, I still got to believe he always was telling himself for motivation that you're not good enough yet. And now he got to sit back after that interception. He sat back last night, and he can verbally say it. I'm good enough. I always knew I was, but I had to use that as motivation. So I think it was just the weight of all of that. And one other thing that he said that I think rang extremely true before the week or before the game, he said, look, you're either the zero or the hero. And I think that's absolutely true. So much weight was on Stetson to win it. And he was either going to be the hero, or even if he played well enough for them to win, it was always going to be his fault. So the fact that he performed, and I remember saying it before the game, I think he can make every throw. It was the one or two a game that he had to make. He was capable of doing, but against Alabama, the one or two deep balls that he missed, the interceptions, the one or two mistakes, right? So he had those opportunities. He had the opportunity early with George Pickens. Drilled it. Great ball, great catch. That gave him a ton of confidence. The big throw down the sideline for the touchdown as well. I mean, those were the two throws that he had to make. If he didn't make those, didn't think they were going to win that football game, obviously, with Alabama's injuries and Jameson going down. The complexion of the game changed as well. But unbelievable performance by him. The weight that was on his shoulders and the way that he performed. And really, I got to give a lot of credit to Todd Monken as well. I don't think the game plan was perfect, but I think at certain moments, it was exactly what it needed to be. He got aggressive, going play action three times in a row on a big drive late in the game. The run option play there to Bowers, giving his quarterback the option to spit it out there for the touchdown. I just thought in big moments, Todd Monken outcoached that defense.
I thought they had a great plan offensively, great plan defensively. It was stark contrast, I thought, to what they did the first time around. And the coverage, too. I thought the coverage, granted, yes, going against a somewhat inexperienced wide receiver core. Dude, the windows that Bryce was having to throw it into was ridiculous. I mean, the coverage was absolute Velcro throughout the course of the night, and Bryce had to throw a lot of guys open. So it was just a really, really nice performance. What'd you make of Alabama's performance offensively? Because I thought it was solid. I thought the plan was good. But the execution was solid. They obviously lost some firepower when Jameson went out. But they just couldn't finish in the red zone. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, a few things. Obviously, I mean, Latu, I think, had a great game and a big play down the sideline. Did drop that one in the end zone. It is a tough catch, but that's at the moment that Jameson's out of the game, I think Latu is really your best football player, right? He's your best just guy that can make a play, and he did make a huge play. He also missed one. The pressure in Bryce's face, I think, contributed to him overthrowing that corner route to, I believe it was Trayshon Holden, that they had an opportunity. So I really credit that to Georgia, because when you went back and look at their plan the first time around, the pressure up the middle was the same, but the contain and the ability to keep Bryce from escaping on the outside when that pressure came was the difference. Sometimes it was a green dog. Sometimes it was a looping guy from the inside where pressure was coming. One guy looped outside a little bit late, so as Bryce escaped the pocket, he was right there. I thought the plan was really good. And to your point, early on, even with Jameson in the lineup, they tested him on the outside. They pressed. They played man. They brought pressure up the middle. I thought the plan was great defensively, and I think it really was just getting to Bryce. And you're right. There was, I think, the biggest deficiency was just speed on the outside and a guy to get open when Jameson was not in the lineup. I mean, Ajayi Hall is a big body guy that could have made a few more catches. He's not a polished receiver. Ja'Cory Brooks has made some big plays all year, but again, not a guy that is really going to shake and create separation in one-on-ones. That was the difference to me. It's just, you're asking Bryce under pressure to make elite throws that only a few guys at probably the next level could have made. So credit that to Georgia and their playing, because I think their pressure package, some of the mixing in of coverages, the man press at times on the outside was a really good wrinkle, and with what Alabama was missing, really frustrated them.
How excited or giddy were you last night watching the absolute clinic of off-platform throws that Bryce Young was putting on? I mean, like, that's your thing. You broke it down in our game that we had against Southern Miss earlier for this year for Bryce. Talked about it in the Mercer game that we also had. Like, you love that kind of stuff. And he was just, I mean, whether it was submarine, sidearm, whether it was back shoulder, back foot, whatever. I mean, he was anything you could imagine. He was doling it out last night.
Yeah, he's special. Honestly, and you look at what Alabama's bringing back, they're going to lose some as well. But when you can build around a guy like that, and really it some of it was lost, too. For the point I just made is that I don't think they had a true separator, a guy with the ball in his hands that could really make plays. And a lot of those quick throws to the outside where it's just a built-in off a run play where Bryce, you know, grabs it, doesn't move his feet, contorts his body, flicks his wrist to get the ball out as quick as possible on the perimeter with a blocker or two. You know, his job there is to accurately get the ball out quickly, and he does it with a crazy arm angle. He does it off platform, but they just didn't have anybody that could make somebody miss on the outside and pick up the 10 or 15 after the catch. But that's what makes him special. You know, Bryce doesn't have the strongest arm, but he has a ton of arm talent. The way he manipulates the ball, I mean, he's going to be special next year. Look out, Alabama, they have all the motivation they need now. They have the pieces coming back. You know, one or two,
yeah, Ty Simpson's coming in. You didn't hear?
Yeah, come on
again.
They got Ty Simpson coming in. You didn't know that?
Big Ty.
They're,
oh, well, that's, yeah, the column. I mean, so it's going to be a great competition.
Yeah, yeah, you got to earn it every day. That's for sure. I think Bryce is probably going to get the first reps in the spring, though. Just something to keep an eye on. Spoiler alert, I'll break that
news
now. He'll probably take the first reps in the spring.
Probably.
We'll see. Yeah, that's true. Only as good as your last game. When you think about it, I think it's easy to fast forward and talk about what Bama's going to be. They bring back so much talent and will obviously probably start the season at number one. Not sure that's much of a secret either if we're going to break some news. But What about Georgia? They lose a lot of pieces. Not even sure if Stetson Bennett's going to ride off into the sunset or if he's going to come back because he does have an extra year of eligibility. So what do you anticipate from them next year? Is this a team that you think, from a culture standpoint, will be able to weather the storm of having won now and they're not going to do a victory lap the following year?
No doubt. No, I absolutely think they can. Yes, they will lose some significant pieces, but obviously the way Kirby recruits, how he develops the culture, like you said, I think will absolutely put them in a place to be in a similar situation next year, depending on a few things. Here's the biggest storyline that I think hasn't completely been solved for me and Kirby Smart is the ability to develop elite quarterback talent. I say develop because I believe he can recruit and get top quarterback talent. But, and Stetson played good. He wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination. Like I said, he made the throws that he needed to make. But if that game goes another way or Stetson struggles a little bit, the even louder storyline is, will Georgia be able to develop and have elite quarterback talent? Because, you know, the last time they were in that situation, Justin Fields was not able to be, an offense was not able to be developed to get the best player on the field. He went elsewhere and had a ton of success, and they didn't win that year. This year, the storyline was JT Daniels. This was not JT's team. That storyline was only relevant for possibly the first half of the season when JT ended up getting healthy. Was JT more physically gifted? Yeah. But Stetson was the better fit for that. But I do think at some point Georgia is going to have to be able to have an elite talent. And that means they're going to have to possibly adapt their offense, right? It's something they didn't do with Justin Fields because it was Jake Fromm's show. The offense was very pro-heavy. They put a lot on the quarterback. And when Justin came in, he didn't look like the player he did when he was at Ohio State and that he does sometimes the plays that he can make in the NFL. So they're going to need to adapt that offense to fit the most talented person. They're going to need to prove that they can develop a talented quarterback and not rely on every other aspect and some underdog and elite performances from a quarterback that everybody overlooked. It's a great storyline, but to sustain success, I do believe you have to develop and adapt your offense very frequently around the talent that you end up getting in your building. And I still think that's a big question mark. Can they do that to sustain success? Because everywhere else, that culture is built to get back to a national championship, to be right where they were next year. That's the question I still have when I look at this team, what they've done in the past, how they won, and what they're going to need to do to sustain it.
Hey, Jordan, I wanted to have you on for one other thing. We've got about 30 seconds left. Just Zach Calzada coming to Auburn. He's a guy that you studied, you talked a lot about. You had a couple of his games this year, broke him down a few times. What is Auburn getting in Zach Calzada?
I think, honestly, to put it bluntly, and Zach had a great game against Alabama in that victory, but they're getting a less athletic Bo Nix. The same struggles you saw with Bo, the inconsistencies, the wild inconsistencies in the past game, but Bo was more of a playmaker with his legs and frankly, a little more talented at times throwing the football. So I don't think Zach is the answer for Auburn to take the next step, but he is a guy that brings depth, brings experience, but I still think Auburn needs to find the guy that they're going to build around, and I'm not sure they have that yet.
There you go. Jordan, great stuff, man. Good job on national championship game covers. Look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Jordan Rogers of the SEC Network, at JRogers11. Follow him on Twitter. Joined us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste when there's fun, Bud Light is there.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.